Welcome to Trapping Radio. This is your host, Clint Locklear, and I want to talk a little bit about, it's probably going to be a shorter show today, guys. I'm getting ready for an out-of-state trip, just rushed, and I'm not quite sure how to say what I want to say today, but I think I'll be able to mumble through it, and hopefully it'll hit a spot with you. Before we do, though, what we're going to talk about is the gold at the end of the rainbow with trapping. Because it's not the catch and it's not the money. Before we do though, I want to talk about our sponsors. They help the podcast. They support it. And the reason that they keep supporting it is because you keep supporting them. And it's easy to support sponsors like we have for the simple fact that they do what they're supposed to do. They have the products that you want and they have the prices that are very competitive and they do very good on the shipping. First one is F&T Fur Harvesters, everything you need for trapping, hunting with hounds, and predator calling. Great company. I've known them for years. They always are just super, super professional, and they take care of trappers. Next one is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies, full line of trap and supply gear. They have stuff for predator calls and all kinds of hunting and fishing stuff. More than that, because you can get this stuff, guys, I'll be honest with you, you can get most of this stuff somewhere else if you try it hard enough. But when you deal with a good company, there's just a little bit inside of you that knows you're doing a little bit better than dealing with somebody that's maybe not exactly on the up and up. And when you deal with Funky, you trust me, you're dealing with somebody that is up and up to the point sometimes that he does a lot of things in business, actually hurts his bottom line to be helpful to trappers. So if you want to deal with people like that, look up Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. And we have Oki Cable and Trap out of Oklahoma. Jeb's got a great company, full trap and supply, buys fur sometimes, a lot of times has meat for sale, glands for sale, goes to a lot of the shows out there in the Midwest, just a super guy to deal with, fair and honest, and he's always looking to make a deal with a trapper. So somebody you definitely want to be in contact with. Then we have Dunlap Lures, which Jeff talked to him yesterday. He's down in Louisiana. He's trying to get a few interviews while he's down there, which I hope he does, because he always does such a good job of that. And his lures are good lures. Really, really good lures. I've been in his lure shop. I've seen what he does, and it is on par with anybody else in the industry. As far as quality, paying attention to what he's doing, making sure it's exactly what it's supposed to be, using good formulas to begin with. Some of them actually came with his dad from the 70s, at least that knowledge of a lure did. And you're not gonna go wrong with some of Jeff's stuff. Yeah, Dunlap Lures is something you can trust in. All right, when I was doing the interview with Randy, and at the end of that, I said something, paraphrasing here because I didn't go back and listen to it, about the memories in trapping is where the gold's at. People get into different things for all different kind of reasons. I know a lot of people in the trapping industry that trapped when they were younger, they had kids, they went to work, they did what they thought their duty was, and then when they get older, they got some more free time, they have disposable income, they want to go back out in the woods and be a kid again. And that is freaking awesome. But do you know what drove or drives people to do that? The memory of what it was like to be a kid and go out on a trap line and wander and stumble around the woods, find some sign, make a guess of where to put the set, stress over the best way to put the set. Is it bedded right? Is the trap in the right place? Is the hole right? Am I using this log? Do I have backing? Do I need backing? All this other stuff. And, you know, as a kid, you've got all this stuff going through your head and your, most kids trap pretty damn ugly, really. and you still catch stuff. And then you go back the next morning, and everything looks the same except for that two-foot circle right there where you've got to catch. And your brain goes into overload. Excitement, wonder, you know, how did he get caught? What was he doing? Was he attracted to this? Was he attracted to that? I finally caught this. You know, you're just, it's a magical thing. It's very different. Trapping is very different than hunting. You go out and you sit in a tree stand and you look around and finally there's a doe or a buck that steps out in the field. You get your rifle, you get a good steady brace, squeeze the trigger, the animal's dead. That is very, very different than trapping. Because when you're out there wandering around looking for sign and trying to figure out how the animals are going to move through an area, why would they be here and why is this and better over there and is this better than that road that I just got off of over there? Are they going to come up next to this swamp? Are they going to be next to the water? Are they going to be on the high ground? Are they going to be on the low ground? And you make that decision that this is where I need to put the set. And then you put the set in and you come back and you've got something from a possum to a coyote or a wolf or a bobcat or a fox, a fisher, a marten, whatever it is, in that trap. There's something about that that just, it's inside of you. Of the only thing I can say is wonder and excitement. And then you take the animal out of the trap and you're dealing with fur and an animal and skinning, and you take it back to the shed and you flesh it out, you put it on the board, you know, everybody, I don't care how old you are, you're going to touch them and you're going to rub your hands up and down them. And you're going to be, you know, looking at the color and the coarseness and the fineness and all that. And it totally changes your fur shed when you got a bunch of fur in there. And all of these are memories that will never be taken away from you. Now, depending on your personality, where you're at, how you are with other people, some of my fondest memories in life are being with other trappers, getting in crazy situations, sometimes getting our butt kicked together, the weather doing it, competition doing it, being in a new area, trying to figure stuff out. But the memories, the joking around, the eating the bad food, eating the good food, you know, trying not to have mice run you over in the middle of the night sometimes, bugs, rain coming through the ceiling, sleeping in slave shacks, wake up in the morning, you got snow on you and you're inside of a building, freezing to death with a friend, and going out and busting your butt to try to accomplish whatever your two missions are on the trap line. That is something very few people besides in the military will ever understand. Because I want you to think about the average person you come across in a day. What is their life like? They go to high school. They may play sports. They may be in the band. They may be a loner. They may get a girlfriend. They may get to have sex a few times. They get into rock music. They get out of high school. They may go to college. They may go get a job. After college, people have to get a job. And most people do a job that's very boring and very monotonous. And then they're 60, 65 years old after doing that for all those years. And pretty much their life in between is you get up, you go to work, you come home, you watch TV, you go to bed, you repeat. And if you're lucky, you get to go on some vacations. You get to do some stuff on the weekends, depending on whatever that is you like to do. But it's not very much because it's just the weekends. You're retired. Got to start watching your money most of the time. You're older. You haven't taken care of yourself. So you can't do a whole lot physically. You sit around, you watch more TV, you hang out with some friends, and you die. That is sadly what most Americans do. Now, in between there, they have fun on Instagram. They go to some movies. They get excited about some fashion, something or another. They may have a hobby. Could be shooting. Could be golf. Could be boating. It could be whatever. But at the end, if you were to ask most people in a nursing home, tell me some exciting things that you've done in your life, very few people will have anything to say. But I can tell you, as someone who has trapped 26 different states, from Alaska to Florida, trapped in Canada, I can sit and talk about the gold that I found in trapping for days. The different people that I've trapped with, having to deal with very dishonest game wardens, trying not to get eaten by alligators, trying not to get ran over by hogs, being in high deserts, low swamps, trapping when it was so hot that I almost passed out. Having to deal with illegal aliens in Border Patrol in Texas. Getting dysentery. Some of the best food I've ever had has been on trap lines. New Mexico comes to mind. Me and Ed went into a place because I wanted something authentic besides just generic food that we'd get anywhere. We went into this place. No one spoke English. There wasn't a single thing on a menu that was in English. I had no idea. I pointed to five or six different things and ordered it. It was amazing. Fast food in Louisiana, stopping and getting 4 or 5 pounds of crawfish, going between sets, splitting tails and throwing the rest of them out the window like popcorn. Some of the people that I have met have been some of the most honest, down-to-earth, best people you could ever meet. And I've got to call them friends. And I've met some of the shadiest, dirtiest, greasiest people while trapping also that I could tell stories about. Some of the shenanigans that goes on with all the conventions that I've been to. One of them was Scott Adams, which is a good friend of mine. We're up in Lima, Ohio. We're sitting around a fire, and a moth goes in his ear. Never heard of such a thing. And when it went in his ear, it panicked and crawled down to his eardrum. Every time it vibrated its wings, it looked like Scott was damn near going into a seizure. Got him to the hospital. The hospital we went to in Lima had armed guards out front, with military-looking police officers running around the halls. And Scott's just trying to get a moth out of his ear. They get it out of his ear. We still talk about how crazy that is today. Me and Scott down in Texas, hearing hogs in number 5 Bridger long spring traps on 10 foot of chain. You could hear them from a half a mile away because the trap they were fighting the trap so hard that it was tinging off of rocks. Me and Keith Harkero down in Texas, I had no idea what in the world we have caught, because from over a mile away of high fence, the fence was shaking. And the closer we got, the worse it was shaking. We pull up and we see the fence going nuts, but there's this great big dip or draw right there. Keith is so excited. Now, Keith, 5'3", 5'4", maybe if he's in cowboy boots, 5'5", jumps out with a 9mm Glock because something's going on and he had to be in the middle of it. And it sounded like War III before I got over the edge of that thing. And there sat a hog that had to weigh 500 pounds. It had a set of nuts on it that were like two bowling balls. I grabbed the 44, put the hog down. I wanted to see what the back straps would be out of that thing. The skin and the fat was so deep that a 5-inch pocket knife blade couldn't even get down to the tenderloin. Had to go back and sanitize an old beaver knife just to take the back straps out of this thing. Craziness, guys, craziness that you get in trapping. Dumping canoes in the winter where you're not sure that you're going to make it back to your truck or find somebody before you die of hypothermia. At the same time, dragging a boat around Nickajack Lake when it's 60 degrees, no wind, super clear water, muskrat trapping. I don't even know how to describe to somebody the perfection of a day like that. I probably caught about 40 muskrats that day. Not a super catch, but the perfection of me on a river with perfect conditions. Well, me and Daisy, my dog, on the river with perfect conditions, being all day and almost sad because the sun's going down, and I knew that that was going to end. Very few people that don't trap will understand what I just said. I've been in situations where you go into a beaver swamp on a control job, they want the beaver out of there to see them, and everything you catch weighs like 60 to 70 pounds, and you got like 14 of them, and you're half a mile from any type of road, so you got to drag them out. And when you finally get done, you're laying down like you just run a marathon because your heart's about to explode because you just exerted so much energy. Very few people in life will understand what that is. My wife has once said that if she came back, she'd want to come back as my trapline dog. My dog was with me every day, trapping. If I went to Mississippi, Daisy was in the seat with me. Only place I didn't take her was Louisiana because of the gators. Even today, when I've got a nice Japanese scotch on the rocks, a lot of times I'll think of Daisy. And Toaster. She was amazing. She would go check my beaver snares for me. She would go find my otter slides for me. She would give me the stupidest look if an animal's on a drag, because obviously I was too big of a dumbass to stake it down, so that wasn't her problem. She was always ready to go. the relationship that a trapper can have with a dog is not the same as a pet. Because that dog goes with through everything that you do. The rain, the cold, the heat, the boredom, the super excitement, everything. I started trapping in Alaska. Very few people can say that. If you're able, you should go. If you wanted to go to trap somewhere in the West, go. You want to go to Idaho and chase wolves, go. You want to see what it's like to trap a bear, go to Maine while it's still legal. The difference of what a trapper can get into depends a lot on that trapper. If a trapper looks at it right, trapping is an adventure that's on par with Tom Sawyer. It's never going to be what you think it's going to be. Sometimes it's going to be bad, and sometimes it's going to be perfection. The more you trap, the more you get attuned to what's going on in nature. Most people have no concept of what that's actually like. I've been with friends on a deer hunt and going, there's beaver around here. Didn't see any water, didn't see any swamps, didn't see any dams, didn't see any houses. I could smell them. And about 60 yards away, and we started looking around, sure enough, there was a small creek that had beaver in it. You get so in tuned. I could see crawl-unders under high fences in Texas were at the point where it was obnoxiously turning my head at 70 miles an hour when I'm leaving Texas. Calling in fox and bobcats, and they're right on top of you before you ever know they're there. The hogs, some of the stuff we're going to be doing that next coming up week. Dude, if you've never messed with wild hogs, now if you're accident prone and you're one of those guys that just doesn't really pay attention and it's kind of in la-la land all the way, maybe you should leave hogs alone. If they don't kill you, they can definitely put you in the emergency room for a long time. But the excitement of walking in on a hog as he breaks an 1,800-pound snare and you're 10 foot away from him, and you don't know if he's going over you or he's going away from you or what's going on. Or you see one of your buddy, like last year with Carl. I don't know how the snare held this hog. All of us were like 50 yards away through some really thick stuff. All we saw was the hog rear up and Carl doing his best to try to get away from that thing. And we descended on him like an army squad. The excitement of that, I don't even know how to put in words. The memories of your first animals, dude, they're golden. I can tell you my first coon. I can tell you my first mink. I can tell you my first beaver. My first in my first bobcat. My first gray fox and my first red fox. And most people can only tell you what's going to be on TV tonight. I've had some of the most amazing conversations with other trappers about some of the stuff they've been through where it's just mind-blowing. Jeff having guns pulled on him in Louisiana. Him talking me out of not coming to Louisiana armed to the teeth. Dealing with locals sometimes is off the charts, just insane. And sometimes it's like you've met a brother that you didn't even know you had. Being pulled over by state troopers to be told that Judge so-and-so has a beaver problem and he'd appreciate it if you'd take care of him. Blue light you. See, I don't think until you get older that you realize what trapping actually is. It's a memory book. Because the money goes away. You don't own money. Hell, you don't own anything. You just borrow it. You got $10 million in investments right now? You're just borrowing it. Your house, whether you're paying for it or you paid for it, you're just borrowing it. Your trucks, you're borrowing it. Your clothes, everything. But memories? Oh, shit. That's yours. For as long as your brain's working, that's yours. For some, trapping season is over. Some, it's still going on. Part of what made me want to do this show, even though I don't quite know how to say what I want to say, is I was talking to Jeff yesterday, and he had some very serious, serious medical problems months back. And this year, in case you hadn't been following, Jeff is on a tear across the country with trapping. Him and Sarah are going everywhere, doing everything that they can. He's in Louisiana, may stop in Arkansas on his way to Missouri. He's already been ice fishing out in South Dakota while he was trapping in Iowa. I don't even know all the places that he's trapped at so far this year. Every time I talk to him, he's somewhere different. But while he was laying in that hospital bed, this is what he told me yesterday. All I could think about were the things that I haven't done yet. And when I get out of here, I'm going to do them. And by God, he is. I would hate to know that I had fur on my body with the mindset that Jeff's got right now. Now, he's going to have fun, but he is going to do everything that he can possibly do as far as catching critters right now. Is that your attitude? Are you going to have to wake up in a hospital bed to try to figure out that maybe I need to do something that actually matters? Build some memories? find a group of trappers that are, can be considered real friends and brothers. Go do adventures. Go try stuff that you don't even know how to do. Figure it out as you go. If you have kids, you don't want to force them to be trappers. But if they have any interest whatsoever, even though they're going to slow you down, they're going to ask you 10,000, what's going to come across as pretty stupid questions. Look at the memories you could be building with that child that they will never forget. The sad part to me is the digital age that we live in now is everybody's adventure is on a computer screen, and it's not real. It's not. Hunting on a computer screen is not the same as a friend of yours handing you a 6-inch buck knife and go, okay, this is your first time with a hog. You have to dispatch it with a hog or you're never coming back. Very different when you got to grab the back leg of a hog with a pocket knife as playing a video game about hogs. See, this trip that I take every year to go to Arkansas with Carl, sometimes Chip, sometimes Tim, Alan from Hilltop's coming down, Mark, my neighbor's going. This is a memory build. Every one of these has been a memory building trip. Yeah, we put out a bunch of traps and we catch a bunch of stuff. That's actually pretty secondary. It's more important to me to go help Carl get this line set up for this client that he has than me going to do something else because I know it's going to help a friend. And we get to spend time together. And we sit up a little too late at night, probably with a few adult beverages, talking about the world and what's going on and trapping and techniques and all kinds of stuff. I wouldn't miss this with the world. I'm sure it's very similar to people that have deer hunting camps. It's kind of like that. I don't know what else to say. You have, because you are a trapper, the ability to live a life that very few people can even comprehend. See things they won't believe, do things most people would crap their pants over. Get in good situations and bad situations. Have fun and have misery. That's what real adventure is. The unknown. That's where the gold is. So if you grew up with the concept of everything has to be planned and everything has to be laid out and everything has to be guaranteed, I honestly feel very sorry for you because you know what your adventures are? Not very much. Grab a good buddy, go somewhere you've never been, find somewhere to stay beforehand or once you get there, and just see what happens. Because something's going to happen. I promise you, something is going to happen. I mean, me and Ed got approached by Hispanic gang members because they were trying to decide whether the Coyotes were valuable enough to steal from us. When does something like that happen in your everyday life? Being out on the ocean, otter trapping, and the wind picks up, and you and the guy you're with, Newt Sterling, really are not sure you're going to make it back to shore. But when you do, dude, I can't even describe the elation to be back on dry ground after that experience. But most people will never experience anything like that in the average world. They get up, they watch some TV, they go to work, they do a little bit of something, they watch more TV, they go to bed, and they die. Maybe that's the way it is in China, North Korea. But there's no excuse for that here. We need some more people to understand what it took to found this country. It took adventure. It took risk. It took going out in the unknown and figuring it out. Because those memories are something you will never, ever be sad that you had. They're yours. They're real. So why am I bringing this up? I don't want guys to not go out and look at trapping like in its adventure, because they'll miss out on so much. That's why. Maybe it's I'm getting older. I'm getting to be 54 this month. Some of you that's young, some of you that's old as dirt. But I can tell you one thing from trapping. I could probably write a book that people would not believe with stuff that I've experienced, because I've decided that I just wasn't going to go to work and die. And I want that for you. Not you generally, for you personally. So go make some memories, guys. Most important thing you'll do.